Welcome back to the Why Hockey Periodical Podcast, and I have a special surprise for you all, but you already knew it since you saw the title. Guess who's back?
Barkov's biggest fan, baby.
I don't know about that. I thought Paige was Barkov's biggest fan.
Okay, well, the
This is
second
true.
one. The second one. That's fine. I'm
If
okay being
you're
number two.
second biggest fan, then that's okay.
Yeah.
You
Just like
came
Barkov.
back.
He went number two and it worked out all right. So,
You
yeah.
came back just because of that goal.
Which one? All three of them were pretty nice. I mean,
I want to
but.
talk about the I want to talk about the one where he basically got an assist from Jeff Petrie because he was embarrassed that on that play he wasn't going to get a hat trick when he scored the other goal.
I think it's great that Barkov finally scored in between the legs. Like he said in his post game that he's probably tried that, he thinks, 17 different times over his career and hasn't been able to score yet. So he's just happy to get the monkey off his back. And
Seems like a very Barkov thing to do. Very, very, unassuming. Oh, I'm gonna, by the way, I'm gonna try to undress this goalie with this crazy goal that no one else is gonna be able to do. And I'm gonna do it while a guy is slashing at me from behind.
yeah, he puts the puck like back into where the defender's stick is, like just taunting him. It's pretty embarrassing for all of Montreal there. But mainly for all the people who said Barkov wasn't fast, Barkov wasn't good, or still doubt him, or like Barkov shouldn't be the captain, or like here's another game where Barkov won it. Like there's 2 points that are pretty much because of Sasha Barkov was drafted by your club. And
Well, here's
people
the
don't
thing.
give him enough credit for that.
Well, I think there's one part of that that I want to get into briefly. I think he never says publicly, normally probably ever, that I feel I'm not getting the credit I deserve for being this amazing hockey player. He'll never say that. But then when you realize that his two career hat tricks are against the Leafs on hockey night in Canada and against the Canadiens on a Canadian national TV game, you realize he's probably going up there and saying, "Hey guys, you realize I'm really good at this, right? You should talk about me more." Maybe
Always
he's
plays
doing the
good head to head with Crosby. I mean,
Yeah, you'd
Crosby
think.
says that he's the toughest center that he's ever played, ever.
It's a shame that no one else in the Panthers could pick up the slack, but he was just I mean, when he
Well,
goes
there's four others. There's four other Panthers who can
Well,
pick
okay,
up the
yes.
slack.
Maybe five, but they're getting close to that, but
Yeah.
when I just love when he just does that because there have been some times when he looks dead tired because he's been played too much. And then in this game, he actually had 2 days off and he was playing against a team that had just played last night and got kind of raced by the Islanders. Islanders, Lightning. Well, you get raced by the Islanders too, I guess. Now you could because they're actually not terrible. But it's hilarious to think that he's done this now twice against the Leafs and Canadiens, exactly the team you'd want him to do it against, right?
Right, absolutely. One on hockey night in Canada against the Canadian audience, and then one at home to help boost ticket sales. It's ticket renewal season. Make sure you donate to charity of your choosing.
Yep. I also want to say that this because when I stated on Tuesday night when they played the Stars, which I'm glad you didn't watch that game, I barely watched any of that game because Maryland was beating up on Purdue at the same time, and that was far more interesting. When I said what the attendance was, and
Boilermaker.
they
Two
boiled.
Boilermakers over here.
They boiled over on Tuesday night. It was
Seabass said
unexpected.
that? I don't know if the guy over in the corner is Seabass.
Well, there is this from the
Cam
point.
Neely. That's at least hockey related.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I wish Maryland had a hockey team. They do have good hockey sweaters for their club team, and I should buy one of those.
UMBC has a hockey team, and their logo is literally the cutest lab.
You didn't notice that during the NCAA tournament last year when UMBC beat Virginia.
No, I noticed it. I mean, I've played against their club college team when I was mucking it up.
When you did your thing, club hockey superstar. You must really love the John Butchagrass wearing all the club hockey sweaters on SportsCenter. If you actually ever watch John Butchagrass, which I don't think you want to
I
do.
mean, yeah, no.
I was about to say, wait a minute. He doesn't watch John Butchagrass. Maybe he does because of the club hockey sweaters. Maryland did have a club hockey sweater shout out from John Butchagrass at some point. That might have been like 3 years ago, though. The
He's
second
too
point, though.
sticky to for me. He's too sticky to for me.
It's reasonable to say that. The one point I was going to make about the attendance is, because all the Montreal fans complaining about, hey, the Panthers have terrible attendance, right? And then every time the Canadiens show up, the building's sold out, and then all the Canadiens fans give the Panthers all the money. So I'm like, well, it's great that you're making fun of the Panthers attendance, guys. And then when the Canadians show up 2 times a year, the Panthers make literally loads of money off of you. So maybe if you want to really criticize the attendance, don't show up when the Habs show up.
But if you think about it, if the Panthers are making loads of money off them twice a year, think about how much Montreal's making off of them 41 times a year, and other teams are getting from their fans 40, 41 times a year. It's sure, like however you want to spin it, but at the end of the day, the Montreal Canadiens fans are the one laughing because they have a team that is not going to default, not going to go bankrupt, not going to
Panthers haven't gone bankrupt yet. I don't think
never,
they're going to, but
you know, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. It is out of the realm of possibility that Molson is going to be want for money or is not going to be able to buy his team out of trouble.
this is true.
Florida has kept James Reimer around because they can't just buy their way out of trouble. Florida is keeping a coach around because they can't just buy their way out of trouble. It has a noticeable impact on the ice.
Well, we'll get
And
to that. We'll get to that.
people who like to say that there's money, there's money, but up to a point.
Yes. Well, that's most NHL teams that aren't, the Canadiens.
Yeah.
However, let's get to some actual Panthers topics. I did find that very enjoyable, though, last night. We
Last
did do.
thing about Barkov. Last thing about Barkov, though, because we kind of got away from it, and I didn't want to jump back in until we were done with it. When I was bringing up the he did it 17 times. I mean, I think for me that just exemplifies the type of player Barkov is. He's out there on the ice, doing that stuff. So like people say, like he doesn't try to score. He doesn't have a nose for the net, or he doesn't shoot enough. I mean, he's out there trying to score in between his leg over and over and over again, and then eventually does it. So I think people need to.
How many times has he pulled the Forsberg move in the shootout? That's not easy to do.
Right, and you know he obviously practices a lot, and in the game he constantly does the things you want to see star top end scorers do, and he does it in games constantly. They don't always result in goals, and that's something that fans have to be aware of. You know, I think they miss a lot of what he does and how actually engaged he is with shooting the puck and scoring goals. I mean, he's 4 goals behind Mike Hoffman, but in way less shots. And people are literally saying that they'd rather trade Huberto than Hoffman, and like how we have to
Stupid.
re-sign Hoffman and like all over Hoffman, and like oh, we've never had a goal scorer like Hoffman. Like Barkov's a better goal scorer. Like sit down, like please. It's embarrassing.
It is weird the fact that some Panthers fans seem to underrate Barkov even though they watch him all the friggin' time. It makes no sense. Like,
Yeah, he's the best
he's criminally
Panther at
underrated.
everything.
He's criminally
At everything.
underrated by everybody not in Florida, so how do you think he could be criminally underrated by the own team's fan base, which is odd. But At this point, I mean, you watch games just because you want to see what he does, because he's amazing. And that wasn't
It's
even
the
like
only
the.
reason to watch, really.
Well, I will. I'll watch for Huberto because he's starting to play better, and I like him. I'll watch for Henrik Borgstrom too because I like him, and he's playing decent
Doing
hockey at this point.
he's playing good, but I mean, what are they doing? They're grinding him into a shutdown center, and
Well, not quite, but you'd think that, but it's not quite.
fantastic. I mean, they're just not really giving him opportunity.
He's playing second power play at the very least, so.
That never really sees the ice, but
Well,
yeah.
it doesn't, but it has actually not been nearly as bad since he came back, so.
Like it's not. He needs like 5-on-5 time. He needs.
He's getting
Better
more of it,
line
but
mates and...
I eventually would assume that he'll get to be the second line winger, but we'll get to that in a second. Let's go for which nuclear meltdown did you want to go to first? The Huberto trade rumor, because that was a hilarious day on Twitter.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't discount it. I mean, I definitely think it's a rumor.
It came from somewhere.
I'm just not sure who's driving it. Obviously, the narrative that is officially put out by team and agent, and they'll both play along with that, is Huberto's been reassured that whoever said anything, there's no basis to it. He's not going anywhere, and that's probably the truth. And so, who really cares? But you know, it knowing his agent, knowing what happened the last time a contract came up and some of this stuff, and how vocal he's been recently, and how the ownership doesn't typically like people who don't fit inside a certain box. And Huberto, of all the players on the team, doesn't really fit inside a box, that box they want. So it makes sense that there's, a 15, 20% possibility this could be true. Who knows? It's probably an off-season move at all. And, if the Panthers do end up moving him, they better get a heck of a return back, because that's going to be the last straw for a lot of fans, and possibly me, is making like a stupid move like that for whatever reason. You just
I can
gotta.
say that when I wrote about it, and I was like, under no circumstances should they consider it because he has an amazing contract and he's way better than his numbers would suggest that he is.
Yeah, if you're trading him for a forward, you're going to get back a pretty equal forward who's going to be more expensive, especially if it's like trading him to get back Panarin and stuff. I mean, it just makes you bang, more bang for your buck just keeping Huberto and riding him out through his what's going to be a pretty impressive prime. So.
He is really, really good. He's just not scoring a lot of goals, but that's not the be all and end all.
And there's no Huberto replacement. You have an outside shot, Denisenko turns into that, but other than that, it's not like they have any type that kind of fits into that Marian Hossa slot. Like, then as soon as you lose that, you're gonna be looking for it. Every team like is always looking for a player of
There are
that ilk.
three teams in the National Hockey League who would kill to have Jonathan
And
Huberto.
they at a similar cap hit, and somebody who isn't part of the core, hasn't been here that long, and shouldn't be here that much longer, is Mike Hoffman. So if you need to clear money, I mean, that's a way of clearing money. I
I
mean, it's
mentioned
not
that.
long-term money you're clearing, but if you need to clear long-term money, how about you just trade like Hoffman and Matheson in a package for something crazy? You
Well, here's a
know?
couple of things that I would say about
I'd
that.
rather do that than trade Hero.
Well, there, as I said, the likelihood of it happening is basically zero in the next 6 days. Very little before he has a no move on July 1 next year, which is also partially why you would get a rumor like this now. If the Panthers were even thinking about exploring it, then the only time you could explore it is now because he's got a no move that kicks in. But they're probably not trading him. I mean, Dale Talon's baby is Jonathan Huberdeau. I mean, when you think about.
I think it's dangerous just to like, I think to me it's dangerous that a rumor like this exists long enough to get out there. And to me it frankly speaks to what we all know is the possibility that this management and this ownership group can completely bring down the house by accident. We're a house of cards. And they have before, and there's no reason to think they won't again.
Well, did you
Dismantle it
listen to those
all in
podcasts
one
from a couple
fell
years
swoop.
ago? Did you, if you listened to those podcasts from a couple of years ago, you know what we're talking about. That's gotten mentioned multiple times in the last couple of shows. By the way, please still listen to the Corey Schneider and a Micah McCurdy podcasts, approved by Tommy. He liked them,
Yeah,
and I had a ton of fun making them.
and go hit up Patreon or whatever.
If you have a
And
shekel for the couch.
support some of their work, because why hockey does, and
Well, again, when you I've met both of
gotta.
them in person, they're both incredibly great, and they both do work that nobody else in this sport does, and it isn't behind the wall of a team. They will not end up, they'll work for a team, but they won't get hired totally by a team like, Rob Volmand was. And so that to me is something that you should definitely support on principle. But getting back to the point about
Just a cup of
Hoffman,
coffee. It's all it takes.
yeah. Getting back to the point about Hoffman, he's had a very good season. He's had the season we all expected he was going to have. I think everyone thought this was probably was going to be what it was for him, but he's going to
Yep.
demand a big raise next year. And I suggested back in December the Panthers should think about trading him because the value you'd get for somebody like him would be massive. Now, whether you do it now or whether you do it in the summer, it's not really a question of when at this point. You'll get a similar package in the summer for him as you would now because he still has a year on his contract, and everybody in the league, even the best teams, could afford to bring Hoffman in on that contract that he's on. And if you need to clear money for Panarin, Bobrovsky, you're probably going to trade Hoffman because it's just a lot easier to do when he's got a limited no trade as opposed to a no move. So that's number one. And of course, when he.
If that no trade even exists anymore, because I thought once you get traded, it goes away.
Some teams can have it put back in writing. I mean, I was just listening to the 31 Thoughts podcast where they mentioned what happens if you're traded and you have a no trade. It can get brought back in, and we won't know that for sure. I would assume it still exists, but probably if Hoffman's getting traded, he's going to get traded to a good team. Like, he's not going to get traded to a
Yeah.
bad one, you know, because next year, if you're going to trade him, you're trading him to somebody who is going to load up for a run. And presumably that's what I think the Panthers should be interested in. I don't think they're going to do it now. In terms of players that they are going to trade, Broussard's going to get traded for sure. Maybe Schang gets traded. I would still think they're going to try to trade Pasek. He was playing third pairing last
I
night.
think that they would love to get rid of Pasek, and Reimer obviously is their number one. Like, they would do anything to move him, pretty
And
much.
he's
I mean,
actually
maybe not
playing
anything.
somewhat well now, so.
Well, I mean, that's what they need. They need for him to play well, and they need to keep playing him while he's playing well. I mean, that's the only way they're gonna move him, so.
This is true. This is true. And I think the
Fact of
likelihood
life.
of him getting moved is getting greater and greater. We'll get to that in just a second. But I mean, in many
They're
ways,
doing all the good guy pieces about him, so they're
yeah,
trying.
they're loading it up. They're priming the pump for the for a Reimer trade. And I feel bad because I like James Reimer the person. He's an
Nah.
incredibly nice guy. You can
That
I'm not going to compare
might.
him to people I have not met in person.
Yeah, I mean, I just. It was a.
We know why they made the move. It didn't
I
work out
just
in the way
don't
they wanted
like
it
the
to.
dopey. I don't like the dopey, all shucks, I'm a kid. I'm just a big kid personality.
I
That
know. That's
in a
probably why
goalie, in
Hoffman.
an NHL goalie that you want to be your turning into your number one and get you over the hump into the playoff, you don't want that. I mean, come on, we don't want that. And
Goalie.
like, it should have been pretty known by everybody, and then everybody kind of let him stay around. And it's not it should have been handled a while ago, and it's just kind of frustrating and annoying at this point.
Well, here's the thing,
That
right?
one guy in the video that got laughed at because he said Reimer sucked and he shouldn't be here. And jeez, oh.
Oh boy. So let's focus on something else briefly. And I want to bring this up to you very quickly before we get into Bobrovsky and Panarin. Because the Flyers are also in this similar boat, although they're winning more now, foolishly.
Because they got a goalie.
Because they do have a
Shocking.
goalie.
They're
It's
getting
crazy.
saves.
They are getting saves. It's actually kind of funny. And I want to get to the Flyers in a second because they're interesting. The Panthers right now, like in the long run, if we think that they can do what I've speculated that they could do if certain plans are followed and multiple options, they take advantage of some of them. This season might not end up actually being that bad overall for
Yes, it is.
franchises.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Don't let them off the hook. Don't let them off the hook. They
I'm
haven't
not
done
letting them.
anything good yet to earn it back.
I'm saying it could be. I'm not saying it is yet. We have to see what
It
they
would
do.
still be a wasted year of Barkov, and
It
that's
is
never
overall,
acceptable.
yes. You're absolutely right that it's a wasted
So,
year
like,
for
it's
Barkov.
just never going to go back. It's just how many years left of Barkov's
Four.
contract you have? That's your window where you throw everything at the wall to make sure that he at least wins one cup or at least wins a couple playoff series with you, because he's walking. There's no way he's signing another, unless you like do something and like win his heart forever, which means you have to go on like a deep run with him. He's not signing. He's not going to take a discount to stay.
That's a question we can ask in 3 years' time, but that's if they do what we think that they could do. Now, I'll start by saying this about
Which is a
Bobrovsky and
lot of
Panarin.
things,
There are a lot
like
of things
trading
that have to
Hoffman
happen.
for a defender
There's a lot
who
of things that
knows
have
how to
to
play
happen.
defense.
There's a lot of things that have to happen, Tommy. Let's go over it now. Let's go step by step. They have next year, assuming no changes in the cap, $21 million in space. Now, hold on.
They
Let me
gotta
get.
trade Huberto for cap space.
Some idiot
The
says that. Some idiot says that. If they
same
got rid of.
guy who said that, what's his name? Dan Hamhuis was 100% going to be a Flyer.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
People.
On a team plane, he said. He heard it on the team plane.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
Anyway,
boy.
Roberto Luongo and Reimer, if you clear those contracts, you now get up to 7.9 added in space. So you're at about 29 million, give or take a few hundred thousand bucks. If you trade Pettersson.
Pisick's a pretty easy. I think the only reason they haven't traded him is because they're just not real. They're not going to lower their asking price until the off season.
Or
But I think
offer him
he's
the
a
biggest.
pretty a
Someone overpays
right-handed
for him at the
D.
deadline, which someone will.
Yeah, maybe. But like, in the off season, I feel like by the draft they'll easily be able to get a pick for him if they want. Like, it's just about if they want to move him
I think they do.
because he's movable.
Oh, they absolutely want to move him. I'm 100% convinced that they're going to try to at this deadline. There's a lot of teams that
About
could use
time.
that. A lot of teams could use right-handed D. So if Pesek
Oh,
goes,
can when can I take my Mark Pisick victory lap?
you've already
When?
taken it, but you can take it as many times as you want. So that's 3 point.
Because
That's.
dude is a third pairing defenseman.
He has been not good. People are talking about how bad Mike Matheson has been, and he's had a really
He's the
bad year.
reason Matheson's going to see a sports psychiatrist at this point, in my
He's played
opinion.
somewhat better since they broke up the pairs. So,
Yeah, but I mean,
somewhat better. But anyway, the next question is for the Panthers is okay, 31.7-ish million if you trade Pesek. If you trade Hoffman, you add 5.18 million to that. So you're up to about 38-ish, right? And then let's say the cap gets to 83 million next year, which is a reasonable assumption of where it could be. We'll find out in March where it is. If you could get to 83 million of the cap and you get all those contracts off the books, you're at about 40 something million in cap space. And this does not include assets you get from the trades that you're going to make inevitably, draft picks, prospects. And this also does not include RFAs, but next year your RFA would include Uyghur, who's not going to get paid more than what he's making right now, which is 900K. Montembeau's not going to make more than what he's making now. Neither is McCaution. Malgin maybe a little bit more. The only one that somewhat could up their value is Frank Vatrano, but even then, he might get double the contract he got now, which is 925,000.
Frank Vatrano is an interesting one. He's one of the few trade chips that they can move and not really miss out on. But he's also, if you think that, this wasn't a blip and he can do this more often, especially when the roster gets more crowded with their prospects and you still want to play him at that point, maybe they can keep him. But he's a good person to trade, he's a good person to keep.
They have a lot of things that they can do with him. I mean, you did not like it when they traded for him last year, but you have to admit.
No, that's a bad framing. I didn't see where they were gonna play him and if they were gonna play him enough. And to be frank, it's on the only reason is because that he's been able to do this is because they haven't been playing. They didn't play Borgstrom. They didn't get some of the outside help other than Hoffman that they should have been having.
He's still having a good season. You can't deny that.
It's a good-ish season, but I mean, how many times were we all yelling at, for Frank Vatrano to be that had to be sitting because of his stupid penalties, because of his terrible defense, which was giving up go-ahead goals late in the third period, because he was doing just what Mike Matheson was doing, or just what Mark Pisick was doing, out to lunch, doing nothing. I mean, he's got a good shot, and he's been given the opportunity to play backside of the net and wait for shots in the offensive zone. And the Panthers have been throwing a lot of stuff at net. Like, that hasn't been the problem, and he's capitalized this year. Good for him. It's going to give him money, and he's not a bad player, but I'm not moving mountains for Frank Vatrano, who is, Brendan Perry light. I
I
mean,
was about to say, like, he reminds me of Brandon Peary.
I mean, like, we got Jimmy Hayes. Like, we had a Jimmy Hayes scored 20 goals as a Panther, Like, it's not crazy to think that he's not going to be anything in a year.
This is true, but you're not going to end up having to pay him a ton, and I would assume the Panthers probably give him a
No,
move-in
but
deal.
there's a team that might value him a ton, or there's a team, there might be a trade deal that you need to get over the hump, and he's on the short list of players the other team wants, and he's one of the few players you're willing to give up too.
That's fine. Completely
Yeah, I
reasonable.
mean,
Completely
he's
reasonable. I'm saying that.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get too attached to him. Is my thing. I'm not. I wouldn't go buying Frank Vatrano jerseys this off season.
No,
yet.
I mean, I my fear if I buy a Barkov jerseys is that he's end up going to not be good, because every time I buy a jersey of a player, they end up stinking. But that's another thing for another day. So if they clear all that cap space, if they get all that money off their books, and the cap goes up to what we think it is, they could end up having something like $40 million in cap space, if they play it right. And then let's get to
no
Bobrovsky
excuses
Panarin.
Whatsoever at that point.
Let's get to Bobrovsky and Panarin. I have said to myself, I haven't talked about it much on this podcast because I haven't focused too much on the Panthers lately. Once they started to do what they've done, as soon as they made the move to trade Bukestad and McCann out to get in expiring contracts and draft picks, it became pretty obvious what they want to do. There is no other team in the NHL right now that is going to go as hard after Bobrovsky as the Panthers are going to. I think that's pretty obvious. Yes?
Yes.
I can't see any other team in the league.
That's literally what all the window dressing has been for the last 3 months. Basically, since it became pretty much obvious to everyone that the current duo was not going to get it done and that the Panthers needed to make big changes.
Yes.
And like, even when the most loyal fans started coming out saying like, okay guys, it's time to do something with goalies, then yeah, everybody has kind of made an about face and has been dead set on Bobrovsky, which I guess makes sense. It's the most obvious one. He's won the Vezina before. He's interested in playing for your team, and when you're Florida, that matters. He's gonna fit into the Russian culture of the locker room and everything. That won't be an issue. And
he wants because the tax breaks. So
yeah, and the other thing is, you know, some of that risk is mitigated by the fact that there is going to probably be another lockout, and the last lockout had two contract forgivenesses. So if it does all blow up, it all blows up. The other thing is, you have to, like I've been saying earlier, literally go for it the next three seasons. And Bobrovsky is one of the few goalies that is a very good chance of being able to steal a playoff series in the next 3 years.
If he can win a playoff series. Now, that's another question entirely, but it seems pretty obvious. Like, who are the other teams that could reasonably spend that much for a goalie?
Well, I mean, you have to go
one. Because they've got,
it's not going to be Philadelphia.
No, it's not going to be the Flyers. It's not going to be the Islanders, because they've turned Robin Lehner into a good goalie by just their system, so they don't need to.
You're looking at Vancouver is a possibility.
Yeah, but they like DiPietro, and they're not exactly in win now mode.
They like DiPietro, but you know, DiPietro's under 6 foot.
You should follow Mark McGill, friend, for goalie advice for goalie advice and goalie things, because he was a goalie when he played, and he has some good. He's not Kevin Woodley, but he makes good points about goaltenders.
I like DiPietro a lot too, but I wouldn't not
they're
go at. I wouldn't
now with Markstrom, because they're not exactly in now mode.
I would still go after Bobrovsky if I was Vancouver. DiPietro and Markstrom are both not that good that you wouldn't at least explore it, and if he's willing to do it, probably do it, because, you know, they have a pretty good forward core. I mean, listen, I don't know if Bobrovsky is the right choice for Florida. We'll go on to what I think could be other options they have and stuff, but there's reasons not to. His groin injuries, his age, how many years and how much money he's going to want.
10.
But the big sell for Florida is, you know, probably a package deal. I mean, that's what Florida's kind of looking at. That's what the players are kind of looking at. I mean, Panarin had a very good, very expensive, worth his money agent that got him, you know, a pretty good deal with Chicago, got him into a pretty good fit with Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. Got him to Columbus and got him on his last contract, et cetera. And now he's going to Bobrovsky's agent. I mean, that signals, at least, or, you know, has the perception of that they're going to be looking, aiming to go do something together, or at least be trying to cut down on their commission together or something. Like, there's some sort of joint aspect there.
So then when you add it all up, like, what teams are going to be able to afford both of them? And you look at the list, and that's very few.
Yeah, I mean Arizona is an interesting name. I think Calgary is an interesting name when it
They
comes
have
out
to
there. I think
move James Neal and a lot of other things first. The Coyotes, yes,
yeah.
but are the Coyotes in, like, it would be interesting because you'd still
Coyotes,
get the
the
same.
Coyotes don't have the money to do it because they don't have an owner that's going to be willing to like.
They might not have an owner, period, but.
Well, they don't have the financial backing to sign two guys to.
That Viola and Cifu do, and that's this is
Yeah, I mean,
demonstrated.
they would be able to get a loan from the bank for that amount, and I don't think the financial situation the Coyotes because they don't have a set owner. They could, what is their financial future? It's undetermined.
Well, see, that's why I like when it was just Bobrovsky and Panarin in the situations that they were in, I was thinking the Panthers are more than likely to get Bobrovsky. I would saying that just for reading the tea leaves, it looked like it. But Panarin, I didn't know because there's just too much going on. Now that they have the same agent, I think it's far more likely that they get them both. Now,
And I don't think that they're gonna have to break the bank in the way. I don't think it's gonna be 10 million, 10 million cap hits.
and
I think that it's
even
going to
then, if
be.
you clear the decks completely as we suggested, they'd still be okay if they ended up going 10 and 10. Kucherov makes 9.5. So Panarin, the ceiling should reasonably what Kucherov is making. But even
Yeah,
then.
I don't know. Is he? No, because I mean, here's what you gotta. Here's the facts of the matter. Barkov's the best player on the team. Now, Barkov's criminally underpaid, so you're not throwing 5-9 out there. But Panarin's not Barkov or Kucherov. Good.
Okay,
I
maybe
think
then
so.
one step down.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're looking at. Now, here's the thing. If the Panthers don't have them by the trade deadline, they can only sign them to 7 years. So that hurts the cap hit.
That's why I
So
was saying
that's.
it's probably going to be higher because it's seven, not eight.
Right,
And I
but
don't think they're getting them at the trade deadline because there's no point in doing that at the trade deadline when you don't need to.
I think 9-5 is your ceiling on a guy like Panarin. Like there's
That's what
nine
Kucherov
five,
was. And that's
yeah.
what I
Like
said, like, that's probably the ceiling of what reasonably.
that's the ceiling I would go. But I think that's on the open market. That's when it's not. Hey, we're also have to pay your buddy that you're bringing down too. And then we got to get a defenseman so you guys could win together in Fort Lauderdale, which is going to be new Russia, whatever, like we're doing all of this stuff for you. We're going to get Trump reelected. Like we got this. The Panarin is going to need to take a little off the top. And I think Bobrovsky is going to have to take a little off the top. Now, luckily goalies don't command that much. I think Bobrovsky is probably going to come in at like 8 million for seven
Well, let
years.
me let let's
So
see.
then you
He is
got
making
17 million
7.425.
between the two of them. You're
So
probably looking at.
I think he's going to make more than eight. I think to me, if I was going to make a prediction now of what he's going to get,
Well, look
I
at his
think.
like actual salary. Well, if it's 6.2 now, I mean like moving to 8 million, going to a place where you want to play with your friend, where you think you might have a better chance, and with a team that's starting to spend more to give you a better chance and building a team around you, that's maybe better than 10 million somewhere else where you're not with Panarin, where you're colder, where you're traveling more because you're in the West Coast
I mean,
Conference.
you're still traveling a lot when you're in Florida, but you
But
have to be honest.
it's not like San Jose, or
Or
it's not like,
Dallas.
like you could like. And a guy like Bobrovsky, he's more limited. There's 31 jobs at the most with Seattle. Or I mean, without Seattle, it's 31 jobs
And when you look
up for
around the
grabs.
league, the goaltending situation is actually not nearly as dire in as many places as you'd think. Because if you just went through the list, you'd go, well, most teams have their goalie. And if they don't, like, you're the Flyers and you have Carter Hart, so you're not going to upset that. If you're the Islanders, why would you pay for Bobrovsky? You've turned Robin Lehner into a really good goalie with your system. You don't need one. Or you're a team like the Senators who can't spend money, or the Canucks who could spend money but are probably not ready to necessarily win yet. Or you're in another situation.
Colorado has already spent the money on Grubauer, so
So they're
they got to
not
wait to see.
spending money on Bobrovsky. So that's why I'm saying Bobrovsky always seemed legit, like it's going to be Florida. The Panthers just have to clear Reimer and Luongo, which is easier said than done. Panarin was always to me more, not dicey, but he had more options. He could go literally anywhere he wanted. But now I start to think that it is more likely that he goes to Florida. Not more likely than not, but it is more likely than it was 2 weeks ago that he's going to Florida. And
I agree.
I also
think it's not about money for him, so I think that's another reason why it could be lower. And, you know,
the
I think
tax
it's...
tax situation obviously helps.
It's why Florida... And, you know, they got to be creative about it. Hey, like, we can get you these sponsorships. We can, you know... cost of living, or, you know,
well, also there's the idea that, you know,
et cetera,
with him, you're going to be playing with Russians. We know that the Panthers have no problems not just paying Russians, but they like them, they bring them in, it's a Russian friendly environment. He's already going to, the team's best player is Russian, another player that he's going to be playing with, who could be playing on a line with, is Russian, so they have no issues with that. And that is another thing that makes Florida more attractive. They already go down there all the time anyway. I was listening to Mike Russo on Puck Soup, and he was talking about how the Blue Jackets and Wild was the last game before the All-Star break for them, and they hired a private jet to go to South Florida so for their All-Star break. So it seems like it's definitely coming that way with the tea leaves. Now, they don't necessarily have to go after Panarin. Bobrovsky, probably yes. But they don't necessarily go after Panarin because they've got a lot of different things that they can do this offseason if they want to, if Panarin somehow doesn't come. Although,
if you're going to back up the Brinks truck, though, you back it up for Panarin and not Bobrovsky.
That's my
only thing. If you're just dead set on, I need one of them, I'm going to get into a bidding war, or I'm going to have to meet demands and hit double digits on a cap hit, you go Panarin 10 times out of 10 over Bobrovsky. If you have to put money on something, you do it on the forward who's a point per game guy.
Imagine him on a line next
in his mid
20s.
Imagine him on a line
next year with those two. That's just insane.
And maybe he's the type of player that gets Trocheck to be less selfish and gets Trocheck to take the next step and stuff. I mean, you're looking for a forward who can do that at the moment. And, you know, you don't want to make Huberto have to do it all the time, because I don't think that's Huberto's role. I think Huberto is supposed to be giving Barkov 40 goals. You know what I mean?
He plays better when he's with Barkov.
I think
because he wants to.
Yeah. But Barkov plays better with Huberto because it makes, when Huberto's on Barkov's line, Barkov's goes for goals way more often.
Just the way that they played together. It was just, they started, said, you know what? It's time for us to take this game over. And then they did.
Yeah.
And it's a great combination. But even then, this offseason, there are a lot of other things that they could do if it wasn't for, you know, like Panarin is available. But let's say in the dire situation where they don't get him, it's not like Panarin's the only option. There are a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean, yes, he pulls your RVs, a healthy scratch. There's Mark Stone.
Well, they should be trading for him whatever they do with Panarin. They should be trading for him regardless.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of...
I mean, would you be all opposed to, let's say it doesn't work out with Panarin, would you be opposed to signing Matt Duchene? I wouldn't.
I don't really want Matt Duchene. I don't really... I mean, I think at that point you just keep Hoffman.
What if it was Mark Stone?
Yeah, I would, for Mark Stone, yeah. I mean, because that makes more sense, because Mark Stone's more of a player. You know, Duchene is...
Why don't you ask your
more...
Taylor Hall? I mean, why don't we just pair Matheson and Hoffman and go and see if Colorado wants to give up, like, Ottawa's first for that? Like, give up our first, Matheson, whatever, and try to go for Ottawa's first. There's that.
You know, like, just if we're going to be stupid and go for some stuff, like, they can go for a lot. Like,
they have the assets now to play with, and they're going to have cap space to play with.
They don't have to just go for Bobrovsky. They could go for really getting a good defenseman, like going and trading Hoffman for Hampus Lindholm out of Anaheim. Anaheim's struggling. That's an even cap hit. That's something Bob Murray likes to do, a good hockey trade like that.
Who's the last Swede that played for the Panthers? I can't even think. Was it Michael Samuelson?
It
might have been.
Well, they signed that Swedish defenseman, and how'd that work out?
That worked out spectacularly, but that's an idea. You're absolutely right. Or
Yeah, I mean,
hop into
like, you know,
Carolina for any number of their defensemen.
there's a goalie, Ilya Konolov or Konolov or something like that, who's like 20 in the KHL. He's still draft eligible. Panthers could get him for free if they draft him. He's gonna be 21 next year. Bring him over, see what happens. You know,
They
you
should
get
do
him.
that regardless of what they do with Bobrovsky, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, but there's other ways to get a goalie besides paying the best UFA goalie at 30.
I wouldn't even be that opposed if the Panthers went out and signed somebody like Anders Nielsen, who's been fine for the Canucks. He's been somewhat decent for Ottawa. You could bring him in on a
But that's
flyer.
like, to me, that's just like going the James Reimer route, and that's
You're
like,
kind of right, but it's not quite. You're not giving
I mean,
Nielsen 5 years.
well, that's because, you know, Steve Weir is not here,
Well,
but
this is true. But, I mean, they have options, and what they now need to do is take advantage of that. And I think, based on the fact that they did the Bjugstad and McCann trade, they're thinking about those kinds of options.
that doesn't mean they're going to make the right options. And I say
No.
that because they did the Bjugstad and McCann
No,
trade. Listen,
I'm
like
saying that this
I
is the start of something, and we don't know what the end of it is yet.
right.
And we
But
need to see what the end of it is before
the
I
fact
make
that
judgment.
they already moved those pieces for
Cap space.
return
Cap
for
space.
yeah to do it, like that's not the smartest move. I'm not saying it's a dumb move, but
Well,
I
we
don't
also
think
don't know what Brassard is going to get in a trade. We don't know what Stamkos going to get in a
exactly. Like,
trade.
what if they get nothing? When and
They'll
both of
get
them just
something for
fall.
Broussard. I don't know about Cheyenne.
What if they don't though? Or like, what if they just get like a fifth and nothing? And
Broussard's
that,
not
you
worth a
know,
fifth.
like
Broussard's not worth a fifth.
they shot two bullets from their chamber on a trade for to get a second back, which, you know, they need to get the second back and they think they need to get rid of cap space, but like you like Bjugstad's not untradeable. Like you can move Bjugstad, and like McCann, it was a trade where the Talon could look both players in the eye and say, "I helped you off a sinking ship," and
I like the
put
Penguins are
them in a
playing great
good
hockey right
career.
now,
You
let's
know,
be honest.
like that trade probably saved Jared McCann's career. Definitely saved Nick Bjugstad's career.
Well, he hasn't had the best of time in Pittsburgh yet, let's be honest.
Who?
Bjugstad hasn't. I've been watching some of these games. They've but
Guys, come on. We don't judge like three. It's been a couple. Guys, take a while. I mean, how
they've
many times do we trade for somebody and they just get murdered because like they don't fit into the system? I mean, Bjugstad was playing center, wing, third line, second
He's
line, first line.
placed everywhere at this point for the
Right.
Penguins.
So just let him settle and everything. But you know, he's already looking better than he did in Florida. So that's got to tell you something. And you know, McCann looks fine, and
He wasn't actually that terrible this season, all things considered.
well, I mean, he was bad other than finishing, but I mean, like the Panthers have a few players like that right now. Like they could afford to lose them, but was it worth it for that trade? I mean, McCann for a second, that's fine. I don't mind that, but
I think
you know,
overall it's a matter of,
I'm not,
again, it's a matter of
I
the
don't.
incomplete picture and where we are now
But
and where we
that's
sit
what they
now.
always do. They always do the incomplete picture. They do like, oh, we're gonna do this big move, and it's clearing cap space for this, and then we're gonna do that, and then we're gonna do this, and then they talk about it for like 3 fucking months, and they keep the fuck, and then they keep like the, and then they don't do anything else. They don't get rid of the players they should get rid of. They don't do the stuff around it, and then they put all their hopes in one basket, and then it doesn't work out because of the Florida Panthers. They have a budget. And they're the Florida Panthers. And, you know, I'm just not going to give them any benefit of the doubt until they do something other than kind of making an okay move to set up possibly a good move that maybe works out. You know what
I'm
I mean?
going to. I
Like,
agree with that assessment, but as I will say, you can't judge them on the past until they prove that they're going to screw it up again. You could be skeptical, you could be
what do you mean
cynical.
they haven't why did we default from, why did they go back to neutral? Like, why are we
Oh,
giving them
no.
that?
Not neutral.
You just restated giving them the benefit of the doubt. You're saying, well, until they prove that they're going to fuck it up again, don't think they're going to fuck it up again. I mean, why? They've only been fucking it up. They went into the year with Reimer and Luongo and Borgstrom in the AHL. They went, like, Bugner's still the coach. I mean, what do you mean that they, Capuano is still here? Like, what do you mean that they haven't proved that they're going to fuck it up again? They've only proved that they're going to try to fuck it up again.
This is different. Signing free
This is
agents and
not different.
getting free agents
It's
is
not.
different.
Who's
Is different in
Troy
some.
Brouwer was the free agent they signed last. Other free agents they've signed include notable James Reimer, Jason Demers. I mean, like, what do you mean they haven't?
Well, that's a front office that doesn't exist anymore. So.
Really? Because half of them are still there,
Well,
and then
but they didn't sign
and
Jason.
the other
They didn't.
half are the administration they kicked out before that that also signed some pretty shitty
Well,
free
everyone
agents.
signed bad
So
free
again,
agents,
I'm.
let's be honest.
So then, like, I'm still waiting for them to do anything well enough to get any sort of credit or benefit the doubt back, because they haven't done anything. They have not had a good year. The
Your
last good
opinion.
thing they did was traded for Mike Hoffman. Period. End of story. That's the last good
What,
thing
you
they
didn't like
did.
getting a draft pick for Petrovich? Well, we talked
That
about that
that's
before.
oh, I mean, like, come on, like, that's Chiarelli, like, giving them a gift. Like, come
This is
on.
true. Well, everybody
He
likes Keith Gretzky now because he traded Sam Gagner for. Yeah, I know.
on the same day he traded a what? Like, made a worse trade with Brendan
Traded
Manning. So I
and
mean,
Brandon Manning's on waivers now, so.
yeah.
At least they're not rooting for the Oilers. As I said, I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt. Don't it doesn't it might sound like it, but I'm not. I'm saying I don't know what their picture is. I'd like to see what their picture is
But
before.
that's giving them the benefit of the doubt. That's
Not
literally
really.
giving them the
Not
benefit. That's
really.
you're literally just re-explaining the benefit of the doubt. You're saying I'm giving them the benefit of having doubt until I see what they do next.
Again, I go in thinking they're probably not going to get it right, but I go in saying
But you're going to give them the
certainly this is their
benefit
last chance.
of
Obviously, this
not.
front office has got one more chance before everybody gets fired. So, let's move on to your other team while we're at it. Do you
That
have a
at
Carter
least they're
Hart
doing
jersey yet?
something Philadelphia. Not yet, but it's a good bet I'll get one.
I bet you will.
They're doing some things right. I mean, they're not doing everything right, but they're doing some things right. They fired a coach. They're
Fired a
moving
GM.
things around. They're making trades. They're looking at things. They're probably going to move Wayne Simmons at the trade deadline and not
Should.
extend him, which. Yeah, I mean, that's what the brain says, and I think that's what you want to. The new GM to do, or what you thought the new GM would do. So everything's kind of going according to plan. And I mean, they don't necessarily have the benefit of the doubt either. I'm not, sh they kind of have the benefit of the doubt on head coach. But I'm not sure if they have
Well, are
the.
you okay with Cam Talbot being like the Kaiser Soze to Carter Hart?
Yeah, because it means that they're going to stick with Carter Hart, and that's the best goalie they have, so that makes sense. And Cam Talbot, they just have to make that work. They just have to move out a lot of other crap. They have to move out Andy McDonald. They have to move, they have to like they have to move out and replace it, not with new versions of the same crap.
They have
So
33 million in cap space if they don't get rid of Andy McDonald. All their other bad contracts get
yeah.
off the books, minus, I guess, Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah, so you can. I mean, I don't think Van Riems likes a bad contract. I think that's them allocating a space of the cap because they know they're gonna go to the caps pretty soon, and I think that's them allocating it to someone
But
they
again,
think is
they've
gonna
got like they've
deliver.
got no bad
Hasn't
contracts
had
on
a
the
bad
books.
years.
They've got no bad contracts on the books other than McDonald next year.
Yeah, so it's about how they fill in the gaps. I give Fletcher. I think Fletcher's going to hire a better coach. I'm more confident, or I should say, I'm more confident Fletcher's going to hire a better coach than I am with the trades or the moves or the drafts. I think he's going to draft well. I think Minnesota drafts well, but
Well, they did draft well.
I'm not sure his free agent and his trading will be as much in the win column as I'd like, but we'll see.
I'm interested to see what they
But
get from.
I'm not rushing back, and I'm not buying tickets or any silly thing like that. So
Well, again, they're in the
it's
wait and see mode too.
but they have a leg up. I mean, and let's be real, they have a leg up on the Panthers as far as making it, not only in the playoffs this year, but the playoffs next year,
They're in a
winning a
pretty good
Stanley
lane.
Cup, making good on this core. They have superstars in their late, they have Claude Giroux and Jake Voracek, and that is who the Panthers are looking to add in, and they got Mike Hoffman, who's like Jake Voracek, so that kind of cancels out. So that's kind of nice, but they don't have Giroux. They have like a better Couturier in Barkov, but they don't have someone who's been in the playoffs, done it, has
Well, you don't think Troy? I'm kidding. I'm
You know,
joking.
and I don't want to say that matters, and head to head, it might not, but I think when the Flyers also boast one of the best prospect pools, where they have a guy like Nolan Patrick, who's a second overall draft pick, who's a center, and they have Sean Couturier, who's also center behind Giroux, it mitigates his risk, and this is a guy who scored 100 points a few times, and at one and for a few years was the best forward in the league, so. It's not just anybody, and it's not just a deferral to character or veteranship or something like that. He's one of the best players in the league, in my estimation. I know that's probably
Overall, I
biased,
think
but
you could say they're in similar positions. I know you give more benefit of the doubt to the Flyers, and it's probably reasonable because they're not as deep.
they have the D coming. Like the weakness is the D, but they have a ton of really good defensemen. Prospects who are not only well-regarded prospects, but prospects who are at the coming of age, NHL coming of age to make the NHL jump, but also like that they've played 200 games in the NHL and they're ready to really contribute. They have it, and like Philippe Myers just made his debut. And he's
I
a
thought we were
righty,
going to
so
spend the
now they
entire
got a
podcast
righty.
talking about him.
And he's going to be a name that is going to allow them to move a guy like Gudas. And the thing is, when they move a guy like Gudas, all they're going to get is good picks and prospects back to fill the gap. And they have, 20 of them already. So they're
But
just
for the Flyers,
deeper,
it's more
they
of
have
my
more
line of
money.
thinking that a bad year like this isn't necessarily fatal for the overall plan, even though we all thought they were going to be better than they were. You know?
No, I think it helps speed it. I think this was like where I think this year is always going to be a negative for the Panthers, who really needed this year, who really needed
Well,
the
they
revenue
also,
from
you know,
this
they don't
year.
need to make the playoffs for the sake of making the playoffs. The Flyers don't have to do that. You know, the Flyers have more built-in, you know, leeway, I think, from the
Right,
fan
but
base is
I
more
think.
critical, but they're not the Panthers who have been run poorly for years. You know,
Yeah, but I think. Unlike the Panthers, the Flyers underachieving kickstarts the process of cutting out the bad and changing the process and trying to get things going in the right direction. If they had a good year, who knows what Hextall's contract situation would have looked like and how long he would have been the coach for. Or maybe they would have kept the long-term Hextall plan and Hart wouldn't have come up. I mean, with a team like Philadelphia, who has a history of not only backing up mistakes with their words and their actions, but also with money, a good can come of bad. In Florida, where the result on the ice for the most part doesn't influence the amount of money being spent or too much of decision making, a
Well,
bad year wasn't
rarely,
good.
rarely, like if they ended up getting a playoff run, they probably would spend a tiny bit more because they'll just have more money, period, because they have more home days.
No, because I mean, like, they're not going to make the playoffs, and look how much money we're talking about them probably going to spend. So I don't really think that, oh,
I
they
think that's
maybe would
more
have.
of a, I think that's more of a, with that, I think it's more of a, we need to do something or otherwise we're lost for good, you know, kind of a
Right, but
last stand kind of thing.
but that's them. But I mean, like, I think that, that doesn't ch them going. It's not like the Flyers where I think that they're actually changing the process and they're changing the direction.
Well, because they've changed their
I
front
don't
office.
I don't think I don't I think the process all I thought I think the plan all along kind of was to just get to this free agent pool, to get to where they could, hey, let's not make the change with Reimer and Luongo because we can get to this point in time, blah, blah, blah. And that's the effect of results, on ice results, not impacting decision making because they were bad last year. The goalies were bad and they didn't have,
Well,
they didn't make
according to some
changes.
people,
And, you know,
according to some
that's
people,
one.
according to some, they actually weren't that bad in the later portion of the season. All the Panthers needed was better goaltending to be good. Oops. Didn't that opinion turn out to be wrong?
Yeah, I
I
mean,
know, I know, I know. Can we
I
get to
think.
some other NHL topics? Because I think I'm gonna, don't want to waste this time, because I don't want you to get too angry about the
Well, I'm
Panthers.
not getting angry. I'm just, you know, I think it's while Florida definitely has a window of opportunity and they definitely have a good foundation, you know, what's they have the problems are pretty systemic. And unless they show they're capable of changing it, it doesn't really matter. The Flyers, on the other hand, their issues aren't systemic. They're roster construction right now, and they've gone through the arduous process of gutting that and rebuilding everything from the ground up. And they're right about there. And they have no limitations as far as how much money they're going to spend
Well, the NHL sets a
on
limit.
the books, off the books, or anything like
That's
that. I mean,
the other thing, which I talked about a lot
and
last two podcasts. Off the book spending, off the cap spending is something that is not tracked. And
So like if they really wanted Panarin, like if the Flyers really wanted Panarin, they can say like, yeah, we can give you 10 million for 7 years, and then we can also hook you up with what with Germantown BMW. We can hook you up with Comcast, obviously. We can hook you up with this sponsorship and that sponsorship.
Dietz and Watson,
You're gonna
I
be in
guess. I don't know.
Philadelphia. We have a
Ottawa.
partnership with
Uh-oh.
this luxury condo company, and they're going to give you a condo for free. You don't have to pay a dime to live in
Yes, but you
Philadelphia.
would
Don't
have to
worry.
pay Easy Pass to go cross over the bridge to go to the skate zone for practice.
No, dude, they'll pay for an Uber. They're into that.
Oh, they'll pay for an
They'll
Uber
send a company
to go.
car.
That's like 30 minutes to get from Philly to the skate zone.
Don't care. I mean, they can buy Uber. They don't care.
Well, maybe Artemi Panarin can. Let's go into some other NHL topics, I guess, that have been interesting while you were away. Everybody is making fun of Don Cherry again. It's so much so that even the ESPN talking head shows are talking about, oh, Don Cherry's an old guy, and look, he doesn't like the Hurricane celebration.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I mean, this is I feel like at this point it's the same people talking this, having the same argument. I mean, how many more times does Don Cherry have to say something almost purposefully inflammatory for us to realize that he's just getting trotted out to for this
The
reason?
difference here is that the American talking head shows that don't care about hockey talked about it. Everybody, when this happened, knew this was going to happen,
But it
obviously.
doesn't really matter because Don Cherry comes with his best warning label ever, and that's his own outfit. And you know, people
Ha,
aren't going to take
true.
him seriously when someone dressed like that is talking about, you know, have like taking things seriously and having respect and like, you know, tradition and shit like that. Like even like 8-year-old kids can like see how phony he is. You know what I mean? Like it's not a messenger that really sells the message, so I don't really worry about it.
Well, I don't
Like
worry
it's
about it either, but I
you
just find
know,
it
like
amusing
it's
because this is happening again, and everybody kind of knew this was going to happen at some point. And then the Hurricanes are selling T-shirts off of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I saw the one thing I did see was everyone comparing that to the hockey expert shirt.
See, this
And
is
I'll
where
tell
I
you one thing.
said this is
There's
I
a
said
huge
that to a friend of
difference.
mine. I said that to
There's
a
a sh
friend of mine too. I said in many ways it's like that was the Panthers being defensive. The Hurricanes
Well,
weren't being defensive.
there's a difference between self-boasting and self-deprecating.
Well, self-aggrandizing
I'm
and self-deprecating.
I'm a I'm a hockey expert. And then there's, oh yeah, like someone called you a bunch of jerks, and it's like, yeah, we're a bunch of jerks, whatever.
Well, that the Panthers thing was obviously, that was a bunch of thin-skinned people being really defensive about what they were doing, and the Hurricanes leaning into it. You could tell that the Hurricanes now just overall are just a team that leans into what they are more than they have been. And the Panthers of that t-shirt was, were defensive, they were trying to be self-deprecating, but they didn't know how to.
Yeah, but as Fish says, perception is spoon-fed.
Oh my God, you quoted Fish. I'm gonna have to get my
You
uncle to
know
listen to
what?
this podcast.
You know what? Evolving Wild was tweeting some stuff about Fish and Kane's ombudsman, and I just figured if Fish is gonna get up in the hockey Twitter, I'm really gonna embrace it.
Oh
So.
my God. My uncle was a road, well, not a roadie, but he went around on the road to Fish shows for many, many years. So I'm well aware of what this is at this point. I'm not making that up, by the way.
No, I mean,
Why would I make
he's
that
from
up?
the right area. He's from the right area and of the right age.
My uncle, I don't know if you know how old he is or where he lives. Have I told you that?
Well, I know where you're from.
Well, you know where I'm from, but he's not necessarily from there.
I'm
We can
making
explain this
assumptions.
off the. We'll talk about family details off the air that none of you actually care about, because why would you? Other things, I did see on Twitter yesterday that everybody's starting to say, oh, Keith Gretzky might not be that terrible. I
You
know.
know, the Edmonton Oilers deserve everything they get. So,
Well, they're
you know
like
what?
the
Hire
Panthers,
Keith
except people care
Gretzky.
about them.
Oh, they're worse than the Panthers.
Oh,
If the Panthers messed it up as bad as the Oilers did, I would not be a fan of the Panthers anymore.
there was a quote I saw on Twitter a couple of weeks ago from somebody who was basically like, if my team that I root for is bad, I'll just pick another favorite team. And I responded with, sports fandom doesn't work like that. But maybe if you're an Oilers and a Knicks fan, it might work like that. Because the
Well,
Oilers
I
are
mean,
just something beyond comprehension.
I don't think it works like that for everybody, but for me it does. I can definitely, at some point, I'm a very loyal person, but at some point, if you're not loyal to my beliefs and how I think you should, how a hockey team or like a sports team that I want to spend money on wants to act, I'll find a team that fits those
Isn't it
beliefs
amazing
and
that we
spend
talk
money
about the
that way.
Oilers? They made a trade to get bad contract off books for other bad contract, former Oiler, and then getting rid of Cam Talbot, who they clearly didn't want anymore, for one of the seven Flyers goalies that didn't work out. And that's somehow so good that we're now talking about how the Oilers aren't that terrible anymore. Isn't that amazing?
I think it is a sign of the times that a lot of people in Edmonton are willing to go from, well, at least we didn't lose that trade that badly.
It is lowering expectations beyond a point where even I would be
They're
lowering expectations.
bargaining with themselves. I mean,
So how
they're
much do
very
you think
broken
Jesse
at this
Puljujärvi's
point.
actually going to go for in a trade?
I mean, I don't know, but I'd be willing to pay a price for him.
Oh, so would I.
And like, if that price was Mike Matheson, I think that'd be okay.
If that was the price,
I don't want
you'd see hockey
certain people
Twitter
to hear that.
combust if that happened. Hockey
I mean,
Twitter would just lose it.
I think that's what the price would be. I mean,
Oh, if it was Puljujärvi for Matheson, straight up, come on.
I think you'd probably.
You'd have to take
Because
back money.
here's the thing. I mean, Edmonton does have to trade value for somebody signed up that can't get out of Edmonton. That's something that they have to pay for. Everyone just has to acknowledge that.
This is
So
correct.
Matheson fits the bill there. There's not many defensemen who come in that low on a cap hit signed up for that
Did
long.
you
I mean,
know that right now?
this is how you get to a Taylor Hall for Adam Larson. And to be Frank, I think this would be a less crazy trade.
I mean, it would be less bad. It would still be really bad, but it would be less
And
bad.
Keith Gretzky is probably a worse GM than Cirelli, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, because I
Who
mean,
did they bring Mark
Gretzky.
Pesek for Jesse Puljujärvi? It's the Oilers. You have to bring it up.
I mean, but like, would they do, like, maybe they want a package. Maybe that's how they think that they get the better offer of the package, and you can do, you know, too bad you got rid of two centers and Brigstad and McCann, because that would have been fun to trade to Edmonton. But you know, you got Pesek, you got some prospects you can trade, you got some forwards you could trade. You have
If
Reimer
Puljujärvi's
you could
available,
trade.
you go get him. There's no reason why you wouldn't.
I mean, the reason you wouldn't is because you have a finite number of assets, and you think you're gonna have to move them in other deals.
This is possible, and I mean,
Like
also there's.
unless you could get Puljujärvi and Klefbom back, or
Well.
Puljujärvi and Nurse back, or something like that, are like, it might be better off saving your assets and time looking at a
Well,
different
there's
trade.
also the idea that, there's also the Panthers winning the draft lottery, which is not going to happen, so I'm not even going to bother thinking about it.
Well, they don't want to win the draft lottery because I don't want Jack Hughes. I want the better player.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is I want, well,
Oh.
Lord willing, Jari Kekäläinen is speaking in the ear of someone and saying, take the Finnish guy.
Listen, I went 3 for 3 already. How about 4 for 4?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've seen the draft boards. Kako's better. He's amazing. Like, I mean,
I mean,
but imagine if the
speaking
Panthers.
of hat tricks, he just had one the other
He
day.
did. I mean, at this point, this isn't MacKinnon and Barkov. This is very different.
Yes,
I
I
mean,
think so.
I know some people would probably flip out if you took Kako over Hughes. I mean, we wouldn't, obviously, because we're Finland stans, but also, you just watch him play, and I'm like, I just cannot imagine. A team. I mean, I could see a team doing it, but I could say just from just what I think, just from what I've seen, I was like, Kako's to me is the better player.
Yeah.
I knew
I
you were
mean,
going to
I
say
think it's
that, but.
Yeah, I don't want to get too, I mean, I don't want to get too into it, but
Well,
like,
that would also require the Panthers winning the
when a
draft lot
player,
or one of the draft lotteries, which is not going to happen, so let's not even bother. They're not good enough to win a draft lottery, and they don't have enough built-in goodwill with the hockey gods to win a draft lottery.
last thing about the draft is, it's not the end of the world if the Panthers don't pick 3 or 4 or 5. There's 3 or 4 defensemen who will probably go in the top 12 that are worthy of the Florida Panthers getting. And, you know, they might not be ready next year or the year after, but there are so many holes in Florida's defense, and the prospect pool just isn't deep enough that there's no harm in getting a top-end defensive prospect in that system as quickly as possible. And this is a great year to do it.
Yep, you're right. You're right. I would be okay with that, but obviously the idea of Kaapo Kakko joining that forward group would be just.
Yeah, it's a fun draft. I mean, I've started to like all the drafts as I've gotten older, but this one, there's a lot of exciting,
It
fun
seems
to
like it's
watch
just
players.
deeper than it's probably, would you say it's the deepest since 2016? Maybe?
I don't know about maybe top 10 deepest,
Because
just because I.
2016, if you look back on it, it was a pretty good top 10 in that draft.
I just think that there are a lot of, I don't know how good these players are going to be at the NHL level. I mean, like, there's like Kaliev is probably the best example. Like, he's just very talented, and if he hits, I mean, everyone's going to be out of their seats watching him play.
Wouldn't it
But
be great if the Delray Beach kid did that with the Panthers? Obviously, they need a defenseman, but that would be fun.
yeah,
I
I
mean,
mean,
like.
there's a lot of interesting players that I wouldn't mind having, but at the end of the day, it's like, hopefully they get Bo and Byram, and hopefully they get, like, you know, Ville Heinola or something, like somebody just really top end.
I think that there's the chance that they could. And here's what we talk about. At least in the last couple of years, we have established that the Panthers have a philosophy at the draft that they follow and draft based on. And you've liked some of their drafts recently.
Yeah, I mean, the issue is, I think, with that, and we've seen it in is it's I don't want to speak too much about it but
It's a June
when you
topic.
get when you get into like the tens or the 11s, you kind of have to. That's when the biggest part, I think, of the gray zone is, because that's when you're starting to go, all right, a lot of these players have a lot of high-end skill levels, but for this, that, or the other reason, they either don't fit, or they haven't been picked, or maybe we shouldn't pick them, but they're just off the charts. Or you have these guys who are maybe a little underappreciated because they had a bad year because of this, that, or the other thing, but they fit the need, and it's kind of where you have to start making tougher decisions. And I think that's what.
You're saying the Panthers have leaned one way too much. I think that's what you're trying to say here.
Well, I think, yeah, I think, well, I don't know if they have. I think that's a matter of opinion, and it's kind of still something that you can't really decide for another couple of years until you figure out what some of these prospects are. So I don't think it's that, but I think they're getting to a point where they have to start being a little more mindful of how they're going to set up their drafts. And I think that they can still do everything they do with PCS. But just, I don't
Oh,
think that they need to
I think
take a
that if they're gonna
I
draft,
don't think they need to
they're
take a
going to.
shooting winger in the first
No, I
round at
don't think that
11th
they're gonna do
overall.
that now. I think they have
Or
other
like
priorities.
I don't think they need to take a
Saron Noel type again.
any winger. I don't think they really need, I
Basically
mean,
that. Yes, you're right.
maybe they take a winger. I don't know.
Well,
It's too early.
unless it's it
Too
has to be
early to
so good
tell.
that you couldn't pass it up is basically the example of that. Is there any other hockey topics that you wanted to get to now that I have you? Because I don't know when I'm gonna get you again.
The last thing is, we've kind of talked about Hackstall a little. Since he's been let go, he's working with the Swedish national team, actually, which is interesting for two reasons. The first reason is hopefully Hackstall learns something and gets something out of it, and it helps him get another job, because obviously no one wants to see someone with the Swedish national team unemployed.
Now, there was a
Big
31 Thoughts
fans of
podcast
them.
interview with Rikard Gronberg, and I don't know if you listened to that, but you probably should because I know he's your guy.
Yes, I did.
Did
And
you?
that was my second point, was I think it's a little bit of you give me this and I get that sort of thing. And I think for Gronberg, he gets to talk to an NHL coach about, hey, you came from a league that's not usually hiring NHL coaches straight. What was the biggest adjustment? What was all the stuff that you had to deal with? People made, people didn't know your credentials, et cetera, and gave you a hard time, or it was a harder time to get a hold of the room and all that stuff. I think it's very beneficial. He's the exact type of coach that you would think he could glean a lot of information from. And, as far as I'm concerned, that's one name that I would like ahead of the Florida Panthers head coaching list. And if Hackstall's the D coach or one of the associate coaches with that, that's fine by me for sure.
Well, that's another discussion entirely, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, and how do you like Craig Berube getting the St. Louis Blues from being the worst team in the league to now being third in the Central because the West is on fire?
I think it goes to show what a team that maybe, obviously it's a different team than Florida, but it's more like a team like Philadelphia, where, there's a certain amount of veterans who expect a certain level of success that you kind of have to change the voice behind the bench, or you're pretty much admitting to them that the next couple months of work is bullshit and they don't need to show up. And I think that there's teams that take that and react to it really well, and luckily St. Louis is like that. I mean, but it's not just because of that. Berube's stuck with a young goalie that's done well, and
Isn't it amazing to think
any head
Ooh.
coach has to get credit for that, because most head coaches, even the ones everyone says are progressive, still are very traditional about how they use defenders or how they use young goalies, and he
It's
hasn't
amazing to
been
think
yet.
Binnington and Hart are now two of the top three for the Hart, well, not even just the Hart, I guess possibly, but for the Calder for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise to me. I think it's been uncharacteristic. relatively quiet on the Calder front because everyone's just kind of fallen in love with the same person.
Reasonable
So
to be
there's been
so.
a lot of va there's been a vacuum to fill. So like usually you have like a couple different people come out of the gate strong, and there's a lot of different voices gunning for those people. So the pre people second, third in voting are usually higher off, where everyone was just like kind of Pedersen, and then there was some Dahlin chatter, and that was about it. So it doesn't take much for somebody else to enter the conversation. And as a goalie, you're much more important involved, and you can climb that ranking a lot
Don't you think
faster.
Binnington's going to have a better chance of winning it because the Blues have a better chance of making the playoffs? Even if I think Hart's a better goalie.
No, because I still think at the end of the day it's part popularity contest, and Hart would win that
Because it's
if it,
Philadelphia.
if you're gonna go with young goalie. I mean, because he's the better goalie, and I mean, stylistically, if you watch, he, because of the way the Flyers defense plays versus the way Berube's Blues defense plays, there's a lot more like bail you're out type of saves that Hart makes that stick in, you know, sports writers' heads, I think. So,
I guess so. I guess so. I could see that.
and I
But
mean, a lot more people travel to Philadelphia than St. Louis, I assume, sports writers as well.
possibly it's kind of crazy to
Just
think.
making rough assumptions.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of crazy to think that the Blues are like that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Good on Berube. I mean, he does. He can get the guys going. He obviously has some sort of qualities about him, and some sort of chops to him to. Because with the Flyers, he got decent results for a little bit too. I mean, he seems to know have a
So are the
decent
Blues going to now end up
handle of
having to
the
hire him
game.
full time? Because I think they kind of now have
No,
to.
because I think Armstrong's pretty. I don't want to say he's Armstrong, but he's pretty. Or I don't want to say he's headstrong, but he's pretty. Determined to make hard choices, I think, compared to a lot of other GMs that have been around a while. Like I think if you're a GM that's lasts a long time, you're also a GM that
He's
has
gotten
trouble
there.
saying no to certain people and some things. You know what I mean? Like you're more apt to do loyalty signings. You're more apt to compromise and things like that, because you know I think Armstrong, out of all the GMs who's been around a while, it is the least like that, and I think he will move on to a different coach. I don't think it's going to be Berube, and I think that there's still a decent overhaul in the summer.
Kind of
I
old.
don't th I think he's kind of made up his mind before the rally came about. And
Well,
I
last
think
year
he's
they knew
kind of
they were
too
in it.
far
They still
down on
traded
the totem.
Stasny away.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's kind of just speaks to like how he's going to operate. And I mean, I think that's best for St. Louis because I think that they did, with the core they have in place, I think they did miss their window. And it's kind of just how do you kind of rejigger that, because you have Tarasenko, you have Parayko. You
O'Reilly.
maybe have Binnington, you have O'Reilly, you got some pieces.
Got some young
Like, you know,
players as well.
is Braden Schenn somebody that you can flip and you can build with, or
I mean,
is
they've
that
got still
off of
Robert
that, or
Thomas, Dominic Bach. They've got good
yeah. I
players.
mean, yeah, and if Robbie Fabry can ever be healthy, maybe he's still an option
They've
or
got some
something.
they've
But
got an interesting, but I mean they were I mean, as
Vince
part of
Dunn,
the
I like him.
Yeah, he's a good player. I mean, they were so bad. Like when the Panthers went in there and gagged that game away, I was like, this is one of the worst teams in the league. And then now we're looking at it like, oh, the Blues are the hottest team in the league. They went from worst in the league on January 3rd to third in the Central because the West is such a tire fire of crap. I mean, it's
But
hilarious.
it's not. I mean, I think that there's a miss just because like there's less, it takes less points to get in. I don't think that means the West is crap. I think what happens is that there's more. I'm not saying this out of any mathematic or scientific background or anything like that. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, whatever. But I think it's The West is more even. You're giving more points to each other. There's less teams racking up points.
Unless you're the Ducks.
And, you know, in the East, it's very haves and haves nots. There's not that big, vague middle. And the West has that big, vague middle that kind of just swap points back and forth.
You're right. That's...
And I think we'll see. And, you know, we'll see how it ends up because, you know, there's still 30-some games left. I haven't checked into the schedule, but if it's a lot of West versus East teams kind of down.
There's not as much of that when you get to this portion of the season. It's far less of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so what happens?
They try to have
a whole base. So when the West plays the West and they go head-to-head.
So what you're saying is there's going to be an 88-point playoff team.
I don't know, maybe.
Certainly seems like it. Who of that, and we'll end on this, who do you want to make the playoffs out of the West? Is there anybody that you like? You know, like
I hope Colorado does.
Well, yeah.
Because I think they, after...
I mean, but they're probably... But they could end up getting the number one overall pick. I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I still don't want... I think I want to see that line. I want to see those... I like Colorado. I want to see them in the playoffs. I mean, I don't care that they're getting...
For the sake of trolling everybody.
I want them to get the playoff revenue and get the number one pick. I want the Avalanche to be good. I want to make Ottawa eat their words.
I want the Coyotes to make the playoffs because that would be hilarious.
I want the Coyotes to move, but...
Oh, I'm not going to say I want any team to move because... No, but that would be funny. Maybe Elias Pettersson in the playoffs?
Vancouver would be nice to get in the playoffs, but I don't know. I would
like that.
I'm not a big... I don't really care about this year. It was such a bad year as far as the Panthers are gone that I've just really soured on. I'm just ready for the Formula One season to start, IndyCar. God.
You weird person. No, you're ready for Crystal Palace to win the FA Cup is what you're ready for.
We only have certain things to cheer about, Matt, and the FA Cup is one of them.
The FA Trap, as was once called by the Men in Blazers. Well, you realize that Palace winning the
FA Cup... That's fine. Okay. Palace can't even afford Blazers right now, so you know what?
The quarterfinals, do you know who Crystal Palace is playing?
No idea, none.
Watford. Watford away. The draw was today.
Well, they got Zaha back. They got Batsue.
Well, the moment of Crystal Palace that is etched in all our minds was that awful Alan Pardew dance the last time they made the FA Cup final before United came back to win.
Listen, that's Alan Pardew's fault. Everything's Alan Pardew's fault.
This is true. Everything is basically his fault. You're right.
I can't. Just like everything's Bob Bugner's fault. And I swear to God, if he's the Panthers coach next year, one's going to watch any hockey.
Roy Hodgson.
I'd rather Roy Hodgson coach the Panthers than Bob Bugner.
Speaking of soccer, get Ralph Kruger out of a Southampton border. Maybe if they get relegated, who knows?
I'm hoping that's, you know, you said like who you're rooting for to make the playoffs. I'm not rooting for Southampton to win any game the rest of the season.
The Premier League. You're rooting for them to get relegated so Ralph Kruger will leave.
Yeah, and want to like be the president or GM of the Florida Capitals.
Oh boy. Anyway, I'm going to go watch that Barkov goal some more because it's amazing and it makes me happy.
I wish the best part of it, and I'm so mad that some of the highlight videos don't show it, is just him like playing with the puck in the neutral zone, just like settling it, batting it out of the air on his backhand.
I think my favorite part
And then blowing by Victor Mete, who's not slow at all.
Yeah, and I think the other favorite part of that is like he didn't even smile after the goal because I think it took him a second to realize, did I just actually do that?
I think it was relief because I think like even in his head, when he was pulling it off, he's like, I'm not sure if I should be doing this.
Especially in a tie game like that, and then he does it, and you know,
yeah,
he is the best thing that has ever happened to anybody.
That is the best way to end this podcast.
Well, no, he lives in Boca, even better.